Because as we look at the scripture, we can see that, number one, we can receive the word of God from our Father. And that is a seed that planted in our hearts will grow and produce fruit. And number two, John 14 verse 15 to 20 tells us that the Spirit of truth, whom we call the Holy Spirit, that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit to us. As he said to the disciples, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So number one, he will send the Holy Spirit, which he did. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He teaches us. And then as we look at scriptures like Psalm 10 verse 14, it says to God, the helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the helpless. Psalm 68 verse 5 to 6 tells us that God is the father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. That he sets the solitary in families. Psalm 22 verse 9 to 10, David said, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Psalm 27 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Proverbs 3 verse 12 tells us that God will correct us and discipline us, because it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. The Bible also tells me that God gives me his name. And God gives me an inheritance because I'm a co-heir with Christ. Fathers produce sons. Sons grow up and they become fathers who produce sons. This is a cycle of life. This is how it's meant to be, both naturally as well as in the church today. We cannot stay needy children. We have to grow up and mature so that we can produce sons as well, and our sons can then grow up and become fathers too. Ephesians 4 verse 14 to 16 in the Message says, no prolonged infancies amongst us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for impostors. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Just as it is unhealthy for a human baby to never grow, it's just as unhealthy for a spiritual baby never to grow up. We have to grow up into healthy and mature adults so that we can produce spiritual children ourselves. Now, the last thing that we're going to look at today is in Genesis 23. Genesis 23 is a very interesting chapter. The first two verses deal with Sarah's death and Abraham's mourning of her passing. The next 18 verses deal with Abraham purchasing a piece of land for a burial place for Sarah. Think about that for a moment. If you were the one writing about the death of such a key person as Sarah, would you only devote 2 verses to her death and then go into a whole lot of detail about a business transaction? I have to confess, I would probably write 18 verses about Sarah's death and Abraham mourning her, and then just 2 verses at the end to say that Abraham bought a field and a cave for a burial plot from the Hittites. Because so much of the text is allocated to the purchase of this burial place, it is worth more than a second look. This is what we find. Number one, the main reason why so much text is devoted to this is because it is extremely significant. This is the first piece of the promised land that legally belongs to Abraham and his descendants. It was the start of the fulfillment of one of God's promises to Abraham, that this land would belong to him. Number two, Abraham did not ask for property in the center of their land. No, instead he asked for a piece of land at the end of the field, that is, on the outskirts. He did not want to infringe or impose on what they owned and where they lived. At the same time, however, notice that he was establishing another boundary marker for the land that his descendants would possess one day. Point number three. According to Robert Alter's Genesis commentary, the amount of money that Abraham paid for the land was exorbitantly high. In fact, Alter calls it a king's ransom. Yet, Abraham did not argue about the price, he simply paid it in full. Abraham only wanted the cave, but Ephron insisted that he buy the field as well, probably in an attempt to help to justify the extremely high price. And the last point is, notice that this transaction was finalized at the gate of the city, where all judgments and other legal matters were dealt with. Once the deal was complete, Abraham buried Sarah in the cave. After this, Abraham sent out his servant to find a bride for Isaac. I encourage you to read about this in Genesis 24 for your own reference, because we won't be covering it any further in this study. The servant came back with Rebekah, who became the mother of Isaac's twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Abraham remarried and had more children, but Isaac was his sole heir. When Jacob and Esau were 15 years old, Abraham died at the ripe old age of 175 years of age. Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave with Sarah. And that is the end of the lesson for today. Next week, we are going to be dealing with Isaac and how God established the covenant with him. So, until then, may God bless you. Thank you so much, and bye for now.